And we are so thankful to have a Father as we do, her Heavenly Father, right? And we praise Him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Good morning. Well, we're going backwards in Matthew, I guess, because last week Robert preached on the verses after this, and so we're going backwards. So I'm in the first part of the chapter. So Matthew 10, 1 to 20, storm warning. Now, originally I was going to preach what was preached last Sunday, but I'm not preaching that, so I'm preaching this for this Sunday. But the part, and there is a connection between the two Sundays and the scriptures, and that is of the storm. And Jesus was preparing His disciples for what would lie ahead of them, and it wouldn't all be rosy, would it? When they're going to go out into the world, the lost, the perishing world that does not know God, hates Jesus, there would be some obstacles, to say the least, right? And so Jesus was trying to prepare them, and so He's giving them storm warnings. Living and growing up in Illinois, there were many times where we would hear the sirens go off. And I still have a mental memory of when hearing those sirens blast, and it was kind of scary. In our house, we'd have a crawl space. We'd go into the crawl space, and it was a nasty place, dirt, and it was underneath the house. And we'd go down there whenever there was a storm warning. And I remember seeing a garage get flattened and a public school get destroyed. And so it was kind of scary. But there was a lot of fascination I have about storms. And I remember, Christine, when we came back to Illinois for a family reunion, and there was a storm coming. Remember, we're in the hotel, and we ran out of the hotel, sat on the curb, and watched the storm, and watched all the nasty clouds go by. And we thought, people thought we're nuts, right? But it was a fascination about those storms, that we go through storms in our lives, right? And sometimes it's not always fun. And I remember going through a storm in my life the same time when Katrina hit. And I remember watching that because I had been lovingly released, so I didn't have a job. And so I sat and watched news all day long. Oh, well, that was depressing. I couldn't have done that, especially when it was going on in Katrina. And it was kind of a picture of my life at that time. But anyway, since then, agencies have learned to try to prepare in advance. And I saw a commercial just the other day where they were talking about having all these trucks go ahead of time into the area where the storm was going to hit. And there were hundreds and hundreds of repair vehicles and different kind of vehicles, emergency trucks, getting there ahead of time. And it was just clogging the highways because so many were coming ahead of the time, ahead of the storm. Jesus is calling His disciples to get prepared, to get ready, to advance before the storm hits, and before He calls them out. So Jesus is calling His disciples, and let's look at it right now, verse by verse, Matthew 10, and we're doing 1 through 20. And He, Jesus, called to Him His 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So that, first of all, notice that He called them. Jesus calls His disciples. Does He still do that today? Absolutely. He calls us to faith, first of all, to His grace, to His love, but then also He calls us to follow Him. So the call is, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men, He says, right? Which is really cool. So we have a calling, all of us, whether we're pastors or not, is not the point. We are all called by God. We all have a calling. Daryl Olson thought many times that he wanted to be a pastor. And he heard an audible voice of God telling him, no, I can use you as you are and what you're doing right now. And He certainly has right in our church in many, many, many ways. So the call on our lives is not, well, you have to be to really be a called disciple. You've got to be a pastor. No, no, no. We're all called. And so the call comes out. The call still goes out today. He calls His disciples. But He called the 12 disciples, and He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. I feel like I was gypped in my seminary. We didn't talk about that in Fort Wayne, Indiana, when I was there. What's the deal? Preaching and teaching and sound doctrine. Did we miss something here? Right? Oh, is that that just happened back then, right? No. It still happens today. Now, you were talking about in your church, you went to a retreat, right? Well, you have the authority, right? Amen. Hallelujah. So, we are all called. If you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus, you've received the Holy Spirit, we are all called, and because of Jesus, not because of us, in Jesus' name, we have authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. Amen. And, whoa, what's this? To heal every disease and every affliction? Have we seen healings here? You betcha. Absolutely. God still works. He still heals today. Now, when I got my doctorate, it's really a misnomer because it was called a doctorate of practical ministry, and it really wasn't some highfalutin degree. All it was is because I already had a bachelor's and master's, and I went and got this, just an added degree to it. But what it was, we didn't have lecture, we didn't have a book, well, we did, but it was practical. And what we did when we had our classes was not sitting in a classroom hall taking notes. It was standing up, it was being in prayer and in worship, and activating the Holy Spirit, and learning how to pray for one another in healing. So we get up, we would practice on each other how to heal the sick, and we talk about deliverance ministry and delivering us from things in the past that were binding us. And so we did it. So the professor would say, okay, guess what? I'm going to lay hands on you. Guess what? Now it's your turn. You're going to do it. And that's what Jesus did. He taught his disciples, and then he showed his disciples, and then they went out, and they did it, right? It wasn't sitting in the, okay, now, Peter, did you get those notes there? What did Jesus say on part 3B of his outline? What's next when we go out? But that's the way seminary is. But that's not the way discipleship is. Discipleship, Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you. I will give you authority. And what we also did when we had pastors and professors coming from all over the world to our classes out in Goodyear is that they would lay hands on us, and there was something about a transfer of that power and an anointing. And so we live in that anointing, and that the I'm glad you understand that now. That's so cool. Wow, get that. Yeah, that is a very happy father's day. Amen. Is that when you get it and you know that the Holy Spirit is in you and you receive more of the Spirit as we communicate with one another. We talk with James and he fires up my faith and hopefully we can encourage his faith. The Holy Spirit gets activated in us, right? And when the Holy Spirit gets activated in us, we have the power of God inside us, the glory of God inside us, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, because it's Jesus Christ, right? Where we go, the glory goes. Because the glory of Jesus is in us. Christ is the hope of glory in us, right? Which is awesome. And that makes church and worship a whole lot more exciting than when does he get it done with his lecture. It's not a lecture. It's a call of God. So we are called. Jesus calls us to have authority over unclean spirits, to cast them. I'm glad I got this text after all. I'm happy about that. Cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. And then it talks about the names of the disciples. Simon, his son Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, who was also Nathaniel, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. But are these the only disciples? No. We're all called to be disciples. But these 12 Jesus sent out, and the word there is, you get the word apostle, someone who's sent out. We are all called to be sent out, not just have our little churchy thing here, but to go to the jails, go to our workplaces, and be the light of Jesus, and represent Jesus wherever we go, right? Wherever we are, to let His light shine. And let, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So that's the great Father they give to our Heavenly Father, is to let our light shine, right? And God says, that's my son, that's my daughter. And look at him, you know, and giving honor and glory to me. And we want to give honor and glory to our Father, right? Praise in Him. Amen. So Jesus sent them out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is at that time, right? First to the Jews, and then later the Gentiles would come when Paul would try to minister to the Jews, and finally there was no open door, and finally Paul says, okay, let's go to the Gentiles. So it's one thing after another. It's all in order and a good time. So first they were sent to the house of Israel. And he says, and proclaim as you go, I love this, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We talk about that here, right? All the time. And it's so cool. And Christian, your church does that too. And there's a revival going on where it's not like church as usual. No more church as usual. Right? Thank God. It's not boring, right? Not anymore. And God is on the move. And it's about the kingdom. It's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one of my professors talked about, we want to do here on earth what's going on in heaven. And if there's healing in heaven, right? There's joy in heaven. There's love in heaven. There are the miracles bringing heaven down to earth. It's not our authority, but it's Jesus. So we're all called to do that. To take it down, drink it down here, have an open heaven, and let God do His thing and show His glory to others, right? Thanks be to God. So the kingdom of heaven is right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? And that's Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we're part of His kingdom, part of His. We're one of His servants, right? So we're at His service, at the Master's service. He's our wonderful King and our Savior and our Lord. So we announce the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. He says, you receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves the food. And so he's talking about there, don't worry about all this stuff. I'll take care of you. Now later, right before Jesus was arrested, he said, remember I told you this? Don't worry about this. Don't take the tunic. He says, now if you have a tunic, take it. If you have a coat, take it. If you have a sword, take it, before he's going to be crucified. But still, the whole point is, God will provide, right? He takes care of us, right? And we see that, how we worry, like a pastor, well, how's this going to work out? I'm a real worrywart. God's always faithful, right? He takes care of us one day at a time. And he says, whatever town or village you may enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. It wasn't like, well, let's find the best house. Let's see, do you have a pool in your backyard? Do you have maybe extra guest room? How about a cable TV? Do you have that? No, you find the place where there's a peace in that home and you stay there. Don't try to look for somewhere other place to stay. So he's telling the disciples, go there, find that person, and stay there. And he says, as you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to it. So I remember a pastor talking about this, looking for a person of peace. We want to find fertile ground to work in, right? And one time we had that picture of the wheat field on a PowerPoint about the harvest that there's out there. There's a harvest. And that harvest is still there, but we want to go find where the harvest is. And the fruit is there, because a lot of ripened fruit is falling off. It needs to be harvested. So it's not like banging our head against the wall in a hopeless place. It's going where the people are that are receptive to the gospel, where there are people of peace that will receive it, and going to them. So we try to look as we talk to people. Obviously, some people want nothing to do with God, but there's a hunger in some people, and we need to look for those people of peace who are open and receptive and say, oh, God's working in that person. So we want to go where God is going. We want to do what God's blessing, right? Not to say, well, I'm going to do it my own. We try to follow Him because He's the leader. We're the servant. We're the disciple. And we want to see, where is God working now? Well, where can I work with God? Where can I go where God's at peace and God's moving, right? Instead of just saying, well, we'll try this, and it doesn't work. So we look for where God is working, and He is certainly working. Thanks be to God. Amen. That's right. So we look for that person of peace, as the disciples did. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to my words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. This past week I had to get away. I was getting so burnt out at work. I touched my head. I got to get out of here. So I went to San Diego, came back. The problem is, when I got back in my house, I'm finding sand from the beach everywhere. In fact, it's on my sofa, it's in my shoes, it's in my socks, everywhere. Like, goodness gracious, I brought along half of California sand with me, you know. And here, though, Jesus says, if you go to a place and you're not received, go somewhere else. And he says, and just shake the dust off your sandals and move on. I should have done that. Shake the California dust off me. You can leave it there, right? Bring it there, Arizona, right? But we are called to go where there's an opening. You know, if it's not working here, let's go to another harvest field. Okay, we'll go there, and we'll go here. And the jails have been an excellent harvest for the kingdom of God, right? So we want to work, and we want to go where the gospel is received. Otherwise, shake off the dust. And he says, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. That's saying a lot. They're pretty evil. But if they're going to reject the only way of to heaven, the only Savior, there is no other way, right? There's no other hope. So you're rejecting God, and Jesus says, whoever rejects the Son rejects the Father, right? So there's a rejection there, and if there's a rejection, there is no salvation, there's no heaven, it's an eternity without God. Because look at all that God did for us. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He did everything, suffered so horribly, so that we might have eternal life. And that's the good news that we share with people. There's heaven, but there's also eternal life right here and now, and being part of God's kingdom work and seeing God at work, right? Amen. He says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." So we're called to go out as sheep in the middle of wolves. Unfortunately, there's the wolves in the church, right? We're not called to be wolves like showing our fangs and our teeth at people and being nasty and mean and being forceful. We're called to be like sheep. The sheep come in with an attitude? Like a big head with my bling. I got an There's no sheep don't have an attitude, right? They just follow the shepherd. And we're called to follow the shepherd and be innocent as, wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. Serpents are wise. When they're in battle, they'll try to figure out the weakness, and there's that cunning, and it's kind of scary, right? But there's a wisdom to that. Doves aren't so wise, but they're very innocent, a sweet little dove, right? Who's afraid of a little dove? Right? It's like a penguin. Who's afraid of a penguin? You know, they're pretty innocent and harmless, right? We're not called to have an attitude come in where people are scared of us. We're called to be meek and mild and loving. But also Jesus says, beware, though. Don't be naive and say, oh, well, everybody will just love me. I'll just go on and I'm working for Jesus. And sometimes people will be a missionary or a pastor, and they think it's all going to be perfect, right, pastor? And they think, oh, when I become a pastor, everybody will love me. They'll all love my sermons. There'll be no conflict, and council meetings will be just wonderful. Ours are, but other places they aren't. And they go, how come you got it so good? They're Amazing Grace. And a lot of your students have some real rough times, don't they? It is terrible. So we are called to be wise, and he says, beware of them. Beware of men. Not males, but beware of mankind. Watch out for people. Be observant, you know, and don't just go in open in the situations where we're taken advantage of. So he says, behold, beware of men, for they will deliver you up over to the courts. Here's a storm warning. You go to the courts, and they're going to flog you in their synagogues, and you'll be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them, the Gentiles. That's not a very good PR way of getting people to sign up, right? So, by the way, if you join me, this is what's going to happen to you. But ultimately, they're going to heaven, right? And they're counted worthy to suffer for Jesus, right? To honor Him and give Him honor and glory. So he said, this is going to happen. This is a storm warning. This is what you're going to have to go through. When they deliver you over, he says, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Have you ever, and I know you have, been in situations where something came out of you, where'd that come from? Right? It didn't come from your head. It didn't come from our wisdom or knowledge. It came deeper in our soul and our spirit and just bubbles out. And the literal word in the Hebrew for a word from God is something that bubbles up. It's not hooked up with our head. It bubbles up and comes from here. So we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit because He's always talking. Jesus is always moving, always talking. But we don't hear Him because we're so busy and so distracted a lot of times. I know I am. Got to calm down, be quiet, and listen to that still small voice because Jesus still leads His sheep. He says, go this way. Come, follow me. And He'll lead us to green pastures, right? Even in the middle of all the stuff going on. So He says, don't be anxious. I will give you the words. I will tell you what to do. I will show you. And it will be given you in that hour. There are times when I preach and I go, God says, nope, I'm not doing that. You're going to do this. That's what you're preaching, Matthew 10, 1 to 20, not 21 to 31. Surprise. You know, or God's always working. He's full of surprises, right? But isn't it better to listen to Him? Father knows best, right? Father, you know that, right? Well, whatever. Yeah, okay, we won't go too far there. Okay, never mind. All right. The Heavenly Father knows best, and He is always right. And He's willing, He wants to lead us and guide us. But it's the Spirit of the Father, the Trinity of Jesus talking about the Father and the Spirit. And for the Spirit to move, boy, it's nothing like it, right? Isn't it so cool? When the Holy Spirit's at move, and we just need to pray for more of Him. More of Him. More of you and less of me, right? As we go farther and farther into bringing the kingdom of heaven to other people. And who knows how God's going to use Amazing Grace in the future. More opportunities, right? More open doors. And more people to go through those doors to go with us into the jails, hint, hint, to go or wherever God may call you, calling you to go, to the nursing home, wherever it might be, to go with Shannon, to go with others, because there's a lot to do, and it is so exciting, that ever-changing adventure of Jesus. You never know. But the call is still going out. Remember the old thing, Uncle Sam wants you? Well, we have a higher calling. Jesus Christ wants you. He wants me. And the call is still going out, and the call goes for you. So think about who you may want to call to Jesus into service. Think about that. Pray about that. I just feel like God wants to use you to communicate and to share and encourage someone else to be closer to Jesus. And that person may bring hundreds to Jesus. And you won't even realize it. But just that encouraging word that you gave that person is going to change them. Because Ananias went to Paul, and then Paul changed the world through Jesus and through the Spirit, right? I have a feeling God wants to use you in small ways that will have mighty results. And something's going to happen. Something's happening. It's a good thing. But in the middle of all the darkness is getting darker, but the light is getting brighter. And God says, turn on the lights and listen to the call. Because the storm warnings are out there, but who's in front of the storm? Who quiets the storm? Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let us pray. Lord, we know there are storms out there. And more than the monsoon, we're not talking about that, some official time of the year of the weather, bad weather. But Lord, we know there are storms of life, and heaven and hell trying to overcome the kingdom of God, but it will not. Lord, we ask that you would help us to hear your call, to hear your voice above the storm, and to feel confident in you, that you call us to for healing, deliverance, raising the dead, proclaiming the kingdom, going to others and looking for opportunities where there's peace and there's open doors. That you use all of us, Lord, in a ministry. All of us should be involved in some sort of ministry to serve you wherever we go. And wherever we go, that's where you send us, that's where you call us in our work, our jobs, our homes, our neighborhoods, our schools. Help us to serve you. Help us to shine for you, Lord, and to glorify you. Amen.